Well, this evening we're still in our teaching on the life of Christ, which we've been teaching on his healing ministry and looking at these things. I was thinking about today as I was looking, and yesterday I was looking over some things and doing some different things with looking in the scriptures. And one of the things I thought about, you know, of all the things that we have recorded that Jesus did, but John said if everything was recorded that he did, but you know, if the world could hold the books. And so understand this, what we have given to us concerning his ministry, really compared to what John said he did, we just have a microcosm of what he did. But these must be major things that tell us enough. Because I'm sure there's probably a lot of things that he did that were similar to others, but God put these here for us to learn from. And I learned over time it's more than enough for us to understand and look at things. And so we should always take the things from the scriptures. What is given to us is really important. That God picked out of all the things that Jesus did, which John said were, you know, just this enormous amount. And but we should take what he's given to us and take it very seriously and learn from it. And tonight we're going to go over to, I'm going to look into Luke, the 17th chapter. We're going to look at an area here. And because I thought about with this is concerning in the areas of Jesus and healing, because it does give us a piece of revelation. And I've been saying this is the things that we have in the scriptures, they're not just stories, they're revelations. And if you start to treat them like that, they'll teach you. And that's what they do. Revelation will teach you. So the Holy Spirit will, there's things he wants to show us out of these examples that are given to us in scripture that so we can learn. In the 17th chapter of Luke, in verse 11 says this, now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And that's what they did. Lepers weren't allowed to get so close to people. They weren't allowed to come within distance. So he's traveling down through there and he met these lepers, and it said, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. You know, how much they must have thought this is our lucky day. You know, this isn't like, you know, you go on TV or radio, you go online or something, somebody, I mean, if somebody doesn't show up in person, they don't show up. You know, you don't ever see them, you know. And they must have heard about Jesus and known about him, because I'm sure the word got out a lot about him, was going on. And these guys, all of a sudden, Jesus is passing from Galilee, down Galilee and Samaria, heading to Jerusalem. He's heading down to that area because of the Jew, you know, the men, the Jewish men have to a couple times a year appear in Jerusalem before the temple of God, before the presence of God. So that's, they're required to by law. So there's certain events that take place. They have to be there. So he's going down to fulfill, he's fulfilling the law. So he just, he doesn't probably through this, he's probably not taking, you know, the quickest shortcut. One of the things you need to understand is Jesus did what he did to, is listening to what the Father said. In other words, he's going along, and it isn't by chance from his standpoint, but these people, it's like these guys, these lepers, is wow, Jesus shows up. This had to be an enormous thing, you know. I'm sure they didn't have people, and they sent out, you know, flyers ahead of time that Jesus is coming through the area. And to them, Jesus shows, this is their big chance. Because, you know, nobody else is ministering this stuff. Nobody else is doing this. And, you know, this guy's coming through. They don't have teaching and preaching about healing yet. They could from the Old Testament. God told them under the law. There was healing under the law. And, but they didn't practice that. They, turn around, and it's like many churches today. They don't practice any teaching on healing or anything like that. They don't do it yet. The scripture has it, but they don't. But these guys, this is their, it's their day. It said, so when it says he saw them, he said to them, now just think of it, he saw these guys, they're yelling to him. This is, Jesus, their master, their servant, said, he said, have mercy on us. And, you gotta understand from the leper's lifestyle, they didn't have a lot of mercy shown to them. This is not, and so, because of their condition and that stuff, and they're contagious, and, nobody's allowed to get around them. In fact, if you were a healthy person and you got around them, you were in a You had to turn around and segregate yourself to make sure that you don't come down with leprosy. You can't even come back into around people. So here they come along. So what Jesus says, and it's sort of just here he does with them. They say, "Have mercy on him." He says, so, and when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. So what he says to them now, and we talked about this before with the healing of a leper, there's a requirement under the law that they present themselves to the priest. They will have to offer, there's a certain sacrifices that have to be offered before they can go back into the thing. It isn't a amount you just cleanse. Look back under the law, Levitical law, if you go back and read it, they have there the cleansing of the lepers that they had to go. There were certain sacrifices that they had to do and things. And then they were considered cleansed. In other words, they looked at them and instead they cleaned. So he said, Jesus is always going to follow the law. He's not going to break the law, because if he does, he doesn't fulfill it. So he fulfilled the law. He lived exactly in line with what the law said. So Jesus turns around, but he just says to these men, "Go show yourselves a priest." He don't minister to them or anything. Just says, and which is amazing. I mean, you have 10 guys and they all just, they head off to go do it. They head there. So, okay, they're going to show themselves. But it says as they went. In other words, there wasn't an instantaneous healing. As they went, it says. So as they went along, in other words, when they acted on the word, I want you to get a picture of this. Like people say, well, when did their healing start? When does this thing begin? Well, it began when Jesus said the word. Their healing began. You need to understand this. This will help you a whole lot. We're going to look at some other examples as we go along in teaching this. Is where most people miss it. The kind of areas of healing is one thing is you want to get is the fact whether someone lays hands on you or whatever it does, the healing actually begins in the start of faith. What was said? Jesus spoke words. His words were words of faith. When he said that, their healing began when they acted on those words. When they acted on it, it started. In other words, as soon as they obeyed the word. And it's like with yourself. Always get this about yourself. If you're just believing for yourself, you believe what the word says. When you act on confess that word, you need to get it in your mind. Your healing has begun. Now, most people, they're looking, you know, these guys didn't stop to make sure, well, is this working? You know, we're going to get down there. And no, they started in a direction. In other words, their healing already began because the word has, did Jesus say it and it wasn't working when he said it? Did it only start working later? No, it actually began at that time. So get that within yourself, is get your thinking correctly about whatever you're doing. You're always going to have to act in an area. Faith is not just something believed, it's something done. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, he used to say this a lot in his, and I've written, you know, in his sermons and everything. He'd say, faith is an act. See, that's not really taught today. Faith is just say something. You just say something. No, faith is an act. Faith, you know, Bible talks about us living by faith. Well, if faith is just something said, well, then we don't have to live it. No, it's a way we live. And so these guys are acting in line with what Jesus said. Their healing begins that time. So they asked for mercy, and he said words, told them, go show yourself. You know, it's a whole thing. They believed him. In other words, go show yourself to the priest. Well, you know, they believed the fact that they'd go show themselves to the priest, they're going to be called cleansed. They had to believe that. Say, well, I will when I get better, then I'll go. And they just believed it. They believed what he said. Now, the scripture tells us in Hebrews, go read Hebrews, the first chapter. It says to us, we have a more sure word than if an angel said it. The word of our covenant, get within yourself. Things that Jesus said. See, I've always looked, one of the things the Lord taught me about when I first started learning in the areas about healing was took me the things of Jesus and looking at these things. When Jesus spoke and said something, there you shouldn't need anything beyond that. That should be all you need. If he said it, then it is. Amen. If he said it, is that enough? Is the word of God enough? I got saved just because I believe words. I got saved believing words. Well, they were enough. Those words saved me. They did exactly, the words are enough. Get that within yourself. Somebody expects more. Remember Naaman, the guy who came to Elisha, and he had leprosy. He wanted healed. Well, he came there, and Elisha didn't even come out to him. He sent his servant out to talk to him. Now, Elisha didn't do it. Elisha's operating under the anointing of God. So he's listening to what God said. God told him not to go out there. He isn't doing this on his own. If he is, why? He ain't the healer. God is. So he's telling him what God, he sent his servant out and said, go down and dip into Jordan 7 times. And he got mad about that. He didn't like that. He said, my words, we got cleaner rivers. Well, see, Jordan's a muddy river. Jordan ain't a clean river at all. It's a muddy river. It shows out of what they call it the Sea of Galilee, and ain't nothing but a lake. It's the Lake of Galilee, and it shows flows down to the Red Sea. You go down the Red Sea and see all the silt and mud and junk that comes down there from that river. He says to him, go dip. You go do that. Come over there and dip. So he goes over there to do that. He's mad about this thing about going dipping. But you know what? All his servant did was come out and gave him words. See, when he decided, okay, you know, and his servant said to him, look, now if he asked you to do some great thing, you'd have went out here and that was it. He asked you to do this. You came down, go do it. But as soon as he started to obey the word, see, his healing, his deliverance started when he went and acted to go do. That's when it started. Now, when was it completed? When he fulfilled to do what was said. See, I've learned this a lot of times. This is why many people sometimes take much longer for them to get healed than needs to, because they're so slow to fulfill the words. They are so slow. The more that we will just go act on it. See, I learned from that. I learned you act on the word. And just the more, if you sit out and act on it, it's number one, when you act on the word, it does fortify to you what you believe. Amen. And you want to do that. So you're encouraging and building your own faith. Well, these guys went along. Now they're headed. This is the right direction. So they go off. They get cleansed. And verse 15 says, as one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice glorifying God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So here he is. This is a Samaritan. He comes back. So we have here this. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? He said, were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Now understand this. Look what he's dealing with. We know from this statement, 9 of them are Jews and 1 of them is a Samaritan. This will let you know there's a real problem in Israel. When Jesus comes along and he talks about the Jews, remember what we studied? And, you know, he said, yeah, he said, I speak in parables, so they don't understand. I do these things. You see, Jesus, God does this. God's not doing this because of their great faith. They ask for mercy, and they're getting mercy. They're asking for mercy, and they get mercy. A Samaritan comes. He says, was it there to attend? And this foreigner comes back. He said, the foreigner out of the group comes back thankful. And the rest of them, they saw they got cleansed. They're just going to go back to their old life. They're just going to go back to their old religious ways of thinking. There's one thing we see here, because he said farmer. He says this man, arise. He said, go your way. He said, your faith made you well. He says to him, you see, faith is more, and here's one of the things it is, being thankful. You know, when you act on faith and God does what you ask, there's a step beyond that, and that's the areas of thankfulness. As if anything we have today, even in the church world, and I'll just say this, there's a lot of people, it will hinder you from receiving blessings of God because of living an unthankful life, not thankful for what does happen around you. And it's not some, people say, well, I'm thankful. How often do you ever tell God you're thankful? See, you can say you're thankful, but you can say that maybe for other people to hear it, but how often do you say you're thankful to Him? And see, this is a huge, important part of faith. Because, a child might get away with that for a while, when they're little. But you know what? Children get annoying as they grow up and are unthankful. They annoy me. This is why you always want to teach children to be thankful.
Amen.
And let them know that you're not pleased that they don't. You don't want to let that get by. You let them know. They should be thankful for the lives they have and what they got.
That's right.
And, many times we take things for granted. We were having, even from the standpoint of, like an art area there, especially, they had a lot of rain in different areas all around us, and we didn't have them. But you know, when it would rain some in our area, I'd always just stop and thank God. Lord, there's not enough to get much wet out here, most of the way we got, but I just want to thank you that we got some rain. I just want to say thank you. Forgive me. It's easy to say thankful for something big, but what about the little things that you get by with?
Amen.
You got to learn to do that. Number one, this is good for your psyche. Because I'll tell you, see, we have too many grumblers and grumpers.
Amen.
Too many, and they're in the church is full of them. The Church of Jesus Christ is full of grumps, complaining about stuff. Nothing's ever good enough. And the reason it is lots of times because they don't appreciate what's around them. All they can see is, I didn't get what I wanted, and blah, 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 blah. And they don't realize that they're the trouble why they don't get what they want. They are. The people that don't do right are affecting people who do. I tell the story, when we back, this is back some years ago when Hurricane Sandy came up the coast and hit up through New Jersey there and New York and did a whole lot of damage, did lots of it. And, when that storm was first, it was supposed to hit Florida. And, it was supposed to hit Florida and then what they said about coming up the coast, but it was going to hit Florida. But when it was down off the coast of Florida, I went outside and I've done this thing often over the years and I looked down there at that storm and you're not going to come up here. I'm going to call you up here. We're not going to do that. And, for 2 days, that storm didn't move in off the coast. It was supposed to move right in within like they had with less than 24 hours. It was supposed to hit Florida. And I said out there, I spoke to that storm. Now I've done that. I've told the stories about when Wanda and I were on vacations and the stuff and everybody left and they were closing everything down and we stayed and there no storm came. But we need to understand people do things over time. And see, I spoke, but I knew this after, that storm stopped, but it just sat still. And I was, this ain't right. Cause this storm ain't going out to sea. It isn't turning. It's sitting there. Something's wrong. Well, I just knew it on the inside. And so I asked the Lord about it. And he said, you can't keep that storm from coming up the coast. He said, the Christians are calling it up here. You see, what people start doing and start saying, they all in their stuff and they're doing, but also he showed me this, their dirty lives. See, people suffer. People suffer because others don't live right. We don't teach this in the church because we have this fantasy Christianity. It's a fantasy Christianity to realize when people don't live right, it affects others. See, we're this in America, this is just me. It's all about me and mine, my God. And it isn't. I mean, look at the children of Israel. Were Joshua and Caleb affected because the rest of them acted like a bunch of heathen? They were affected. You need to understand this. People do wrong. It affects others. And this is why we need to be careful in these areas, making sure we're doing right. And make sure in these areas, see, we're talking about in thankfulness, especially in Christianity, Christians, I'll tell you what, we could get a ton of stuff that God would do if the church would start acting right. If Christians would quit being Americans and start being Christians. When we would start throwing out the First Amendment and saying what we want to say and start saying what God said we want to say. All these people are, I got a right. Yeah, well, you ought to have it taken from you because you've been shooting yourself and everybody else with your rights. You've been causing everybody else trouble with your rights. Say, no, we gotta learn to say it. Stuff going around, just cause things are happening bad and things are going on around, we don't have to join the club.
Amen.
We don't have to. And get this idea, you know, don't go with the crowd, you know. You know, thank God the Samaritan didn't go with the crowd. Number one, Jesus commended him. Do you know he didn't commend the others? I think I'd like to have Jesus commend me. I think I'd like to have him commend me instead of the crowd. Because you may get commended by the crowd, but do you get commended by Jesus? Is he commending? And so in this area, keep yourself over in the areas to be a thankful person.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, I'm just glad I'm still breathing.
Hallelujah.
the devil tried to shut that off a few times. He tried to stop that a number of times. But thank God. Hallelujah. And so, but you know, keep yourself over in the areas of really being thankful about things. And, you know, it doesn't have to be a big deal of a big thing done. Just be a thankful person. I just, whenever I spend time with the Lord, and I do, it's like, and if I pray, like I go to bed at night and I'll lay there in a bed and I'll pray and I'll just spend time just thanking God. Just thanking Him. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just so glad I'm saved.
Hallelujah, man.
You know what? I don't care what I go in my life. What happens in between? I'm going to end up in heaven no matter where this goes.
Amen.
And so no matter in between what we may go through sometimes and suffer, it ain't nothing compared, like Paul said, the glory that'll be revealed in us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is no comparison to it. Hallelujah. Thank God for the glory that's in us.
Amen.
Amen. Keep that in mind. You know, because number one, you can't get on the grump side, you'll lose your joy anyhow. So, and you lose your joy, things do get worse.
Amen.
Even when good comes along, you're still a grump. You don't want to lose your joy. Keep your joy. Hallelujah. Keep on smiling.
Hallelujah.
So, hallelujah. It's just like with that man there. If his faith made him whole, then your faith. If faith made him whole, some people say, God don't heal today. Well, I'm sorry. It says faith made him whole. If faith made him whole, faith has never changed. It'll make me whole too.
Amen.
People say, well, God don't heal you. I'm sorry. He didn't say God healed you. He said your faith made you whole. So if I can have faith in the word of God, I can be made whole too.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. God's not a respecter of person. He will honor your faith in the same manner. Glory to God. We're going to go over, look, we're going to look into the Gospel of John here at a couple of places. There's some good teaching here that we can see things in Jesus' ministry that will help us concerning, especially is ministering to people, is understanding, what God does and how we respond, especially in ministering to people. Because if we take Jesus' ministry, we want to think about this, you know, somewhat because of how Jesus ministered. I'm going to read you this scripture. We're going to go over, in there, John. But in John 14 and verse 10, Jesus said he was speaking to his disciples. He said, "Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father in me?" He said, "The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority." Now that word there, the word authority was added there. That the word authority isn't there. He just said, "I'm not speaking on my own." In other words, this is not my words. I'm not speaking. He said, "But the Father who dwells in me, He does the works." You need to understand this. It is the same exactly for us. So Jesus' ministry, what we're going to look at, what He does here in ministry, this is not Jesus' idea to do this. He's being obedient to what the Father, God, this is God's working. And this is the way you and I need to be expect to do. He was saying this. If you go on and look at this, he talks about the Holy Spirit coming and we're having to have the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit does. Understand in ministry to people, you are going to have to learn to be led by the Spirit. You're going to have to be learned. You know, we're teaching on dealing with demons and stuff. Let me just say to this. One of the reasons why we don't have a lot of ministry in the area dealing with demonic powers is because the church is not being led by the Spirit because it's required. Jesus said, he said that he cast out devils by the finger of God. In other words, this is God's working. It's not His. You're going to have to do the same thing. You're going to have to listen to the Spirit. Is number one, you're going to have to know that you're dealing with the devil. In other words, you can't deal with the devil without faith. In other words, you're going to have to know it's the demon you're dealing with. And not just, you know, most time people try and deal with people and their problems and things, but you want to be led by the Spirit. God knows what it takes to deal with a person. Now, meanwhile, in between, we're told we can lay hands on the sick, but you're going to find this out. Sometimes you're laying hands on people and nothing changes. And until you come to the place, if you know it's a demon or something like that, until you know, you can't do anything. And this is what you're going to have to find. This is why we walk into faith. As far as we can. The gifts of the Spirit, if you go over to 1 Corinthians 12, that says they operate as the Spirit wills. They don't operate as you will. You can't make them go into operation. You cannot do that. It says as the Spirit wills. What we do is we make ourselves available to Him. If He wants to, then He can use us. But we can't force Him to do anything. See, people, I watch people do this. They get the idea, well, I'm going to really push this area, and then, I'm already fasting and praying, like I'm going to make God do this. No, He ain't. You're wasting your time fasting and praying. You might hook up with the devil on this thing. See, we don't want to do it. We need to understand the Holy Spirit. This is why we need His help to minister to people. He knows where people are at. And so we'll find out as we go along in these things. It'll be really helpful to us. Now, in John, the fifth chapter, we're going to start there. John talks about a man here. And it says in the first verse of the fifth chapter, it says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went to Jerusalem. So he's heading down to Jerusalem. He said, now there is in Jerusalem, he said, the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda. It means house of kindness is what that means. It says, having five porches. Now, these five porches, in these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. So in other words, there's five porches. He says there's a great multitude. What do you think about how many people then? A great multitude? He didn't say there's a multitude. He said it was a great multitude. So this thing is filled with all these people. It tells us here that the great multitude, they're sick, they're blind, they're lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. Says this, for an angel went down at a certain time in the pool, stirred up water, then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. So, I mean, just so in other words, you know, I would just think about God's trying to get these people's attention and just think how the Pharisees opposed things about healing. You know, excuse me, guys, right in your town, God's trying to get something across to you. See, people can, religion, I've seen this so many times. Religion blinds people. They can't even see what God's doing at all.
Amen.
They're talking about, you know, these people, we want to move God. We want the Messiah to show up. They can't see Him when He shows up. Yet He's everything the Scripture says a guy would be. Why can't they see Him? They're religious beliefs. We got a lot of that today. A lot of people today, one said, we want a move of God, and they don't realize what they do becomes an opposition. You know, there's people out here saying, I want a move of God, and they're upset about people healing and doing stuff. So we see this. Why on earth would God send an angel down to stir the water to heal people? And, you know, He's mad on the Sabbath, because we want to find out what takes place here is on the Sabbath. Yeah. So anyways, so it says, now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him laying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? Now, in other words, the word of knowledge is an operation here. He didn't know this guy. He had never met this guy before. How do you know he'd been there a long time? Well, he didn't know it naturally. Understand, he's a man. See, the Christianity does this thing. Well, he was the Son of God. Well, then you're missing the whole point of the Bible. Missing the entire point of the Bible when you think like that. Because Jesus said the works that He does, we'll do also. Well, see, you can't have that and think that He did this stuff because He was the Son of God. Can't have that. And that's why people can't have that. They read those scriptures and they really can't believe that would ever happen because Jesus didn't do it. Jesus is just operating. He goes to this man. Now just think about it. In this place is a multitude of sick and Jesus goes to one man. Jesus goes, why did he decide to do it this way? No, this is God. Say, why is God doing this? I don't know. Ask him. He never asks us to try to figure all this stuff out. Amen. Just obey what he shows you to do.
Amen.
See, why did he pick this one guy? See, I don't know. We don't know what, you know, was all going on or what happened or why God did. I've heard said people say, well, sometime, you know, God does certain things. He sets to do this concerning himself. He decides to do this. I don't always know that it's exactly like that. I think sometimes or somebody has done something or there was a hookup somewhere along the line, somewhere, that moved God in a direction. Sometimes dealing with a people, there's certain things or people can do to set something in motion. But you know what? They might have to wait on God to find out what that is. There's lots of times people spend much, we maybe don't spend as much time as we should sometime to find out what we need to do to hook up. Because some people, like they read these things, they think, I'll just believe God, this person. No, you're not going to move with everybody. Because one of the things that, look at Jesus said to him. Now this guy's laying here. Isn't this sound like a dumb question? He says to him, do you want to be made well? Don't that sound stupid? You need to understand this. You need to learn to ask people if they really want to be well. Mm-hmm. I've laid hands on people already and then found out they didn't really want to get well. They love being in their condition because people feel bad for them and people feel sorry. See, it's number one. I don't care. You can pray night and day for a person like that. It'll never work. You can't get a, I don't care if a person has a demon. You'll never get a demon out of a person that don't want it out of. It'll never happen. God can't make it happen. You need to understand concerning our will and our yield. So Jesus is asking him, why? Getting him to move in a direction. See, God wants him to move, but he has to be responsive to the move.
Amen.
Understand that about your minister to people. Them being responsive to the move. This is one thing, as I found out a lot of times, people going out witnessing to people and doing stuff, they're all running the show. They're not even finding out where the person's will at is in the thing. They don't care. I'm just going to do this. And blah, 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 blah. No, hold it. What's their will?
Mm-hmm.
Do they really want to do this?
Amen.
They really want to hook up on this? You know? See, we would think everybody, you know, and his brother, you know, if they just want to be well. I'm going to tell you what. There's Christians who would run away from anybody that was ministering healing. They'd run away. They think it's a devil. Well, didn't the Pharisees teach the people that Jesus was of the devil? He was doing what he's doing by the devil. This ain't God. Well, so he asked, do you want to be well? So the guy who was just the sick man answered, he answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me. So he doesn't know who Jesus is. He says, sir, you know, I'm in a bad spot here. You know, I'm here. Now, how he got there every day, and he was taken there every day, and he would go, how it was, we don't know. But he was getting there, and maybe he had great difficulty what it was to get there. But he would go there. He had an expectation that he did want healed, but he's in a bad spot. He says here, you know, yeah, I want healed. But he said, when the water stirs, I can't get in. I ain't fast enough. I can't get there. This is by the wonder of faith. I love faith. Hallelujah. You can get there from wherever you're at.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
This is the wonder of faith. You know what? See, a lot of people are like this. You know, I know if I got to this certain minister to lay hands on me and I got there, but I can't get there. Oh, faith will get me anywhere I want. Hallelujah. Faith will move God wherever you're at. God will move where you're at.
Amen.
Now, isn't that the most wonderful thing? Hallelujah. Well, we find here, so Jesus said to him, after he makes this statement, Jesus says, rise, take up your bed and walk. And he said, immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. Well, this is going to be a lot of fun. But now understand this. This man ain't healed by faith. It's not his faith. Not his faith. He's not in faith about this. He don't know who Jesus is. He don't know nothing. We're going to find out. He don't know. He doesn't know anything. So we want to. This is a move of the Spirit of God. This is a manifestation of gifts of the Spirit in operation. Now, God, we know this. God sent Jesus there. People say, well, why did he do it? I don't know. I don't question why. All it is, we need to do this is cooperate with God. Sometimes God will send you people to do stuff. And sometimes people respond and people don't respond. But I've had God tell me specifically go to people. I've had people ready that God's told me to go to, and they would not receive what God had. And so things didn't go well for them. But they could have. And then on the other hand, God sent me to people, and they responded, and God blessed them.
Amen.
And so you need to notice God will send you to people sometimes. And, it's the first time God really sent me to people when a problem was a woman who, they said she was going to have a miscarriage. And, she was just waiting for it to happen is what it was. She was in that, her and her husband, and, they lived near us. We knew who they were, you know, but, the Lord told me to go and talk to them, and I went and did, and they wouldn't accept it. Now, you know, they were Catholics in the Catholic Church and that stuff. But, you know, God wasn't nervous. He wanted to bless them. He wanted to bless them. I'm just going to tell you, if they would have obeyed what I said, she'd have had that child. I'll guarantee you. Because God used me that same day concerning Wanda's two cousins. Both of them were supposed to lose kids. Both of them had those kids. Those kids are married today and have children. But you get people over to them, they refused. They refused it, and she lost a child. And you know, life hasn't gone well. In fact, her husband just died. She had her other daughter they had. She died. And just things. You know, people need to understand, you know, God likes to help people.
Amen.
But people with the religious ideas and things many times are turning away from what God wants to do. You know, God don't always come along in a package or whatever thing that we think is sensible or good. And this is one thing is, you have to learn to, you know, you're in the middle of a mess and it ain't working for you. You need to stop with yourself and say, I must not know much. This thing ain't working. Maybe I ought to listen to somebody else. Maybe I ought to. See, people get into trouble and get into situations and they, you know, you get sort of stuck there, and it's easy to do. You get sort of stuck there and nothing changing and moving in direction, and God sends somebody along, especially something that sounds different. And this is why you want to be learned to lead by your own spirit. You want in the inside. There's many times I've had things that, boy, that didn't seem sensible to me. And somehow on the inside I knew, you obey this. You get doing it. And you just go ahead and do it. It works. You got to learn to live out that inner man. Well, he tells this guy to rise up and take up his bed and walk. And said immediately the man got well. He said he took up his bed, walked on the Sabbath. Well, here we go. It says, the Jews therefore said to him who was cured, it is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. Well, now that was a lie. They've always say this. There was nowhere in the law said a person couldn't do that. This was a law made up by men. It was never the law of God. Never. It was the law of men. Jesus, do you ever notice? He didn't obey that kind of stuff. There's religious laws that there's got. That's why they had a hard time. His disciples, you remember going through the field and they're taking grain in their hand and they're rubbing it, get the husk off of it, and they're eating the grain. Oh, no, you ain't allowed to do that. You're working. It's like, but all those things are laws they made. Oh, God, the church got laws today. They got laws and don't know squat about faith. They don't know about trusting God, but we got laws. And we'll kill you with See, what we need is another rule. That's how I get cracked up about our nation. Well, Congress needs to pass a law. People are always, we got a billion laws and it don't work. Nothing works. You is not never going to get people to be good following laws. If you have to get laws to try to make people to do good, it's cause they ain't no good, or you wouldn't have had to make a law. So you get set on the fact, we got law, 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 law. You can put law, 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 law. That don't change people. There's one that changes people, and that's God. And if you can't get, that operates God's grace, and you can't, law, hey, how many years did Israel have the law? Here they go, the Messiah comes, all they're saying they want, and they threw it all away. Why? Laws. Law's gonna fix everything. And, that's what I say. We're running on this thing of laws, laws, man's laws. It's like, my God, do we need another law? We don't enforce, 90% of it. we're a strange bunch. Hallelujah. But as anyhow, so these people are upset. The Jews are mad because this is Sabbath, not lawfully. And he answered them, he who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk. Then they asked him, who's the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? He said, but the one who was healed did not know who he was. For Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. So Jesus withdrawn. That's what I said. Jesus went in there. He's just being led by the Spirit of God is what he is. He goes in there. All that multitude is one guy. It's one guy. I mean, you sit down. See, we would think of this thing, boy, if God tell me we're going to clear this place out. We're just going to go in here and we're just going to do this. See, the way we think, we don't think God would go in and do that, but that's not in our thinking today. See, God sent me there to do all of this, did he? Jesus didn't go running around and pray for anybody else. Do you think nobody there saw that guy get up and walk out? Jesus didn't stop him. He left. He did the will of God and left. See, his reward's doing the will of God. You know how he got to be your redeemer? Doing the will of God. Amen. not doing what he wanted to do or man wanted to do in a man's thinking. He just did the will of God. Hallelujah. So, this is the thing. Don't run all these questions in your mind. Well, why God does it this way or why he goes, well, number one, he's God. He knows a lot more than me.
Amen.
I wasn't with him in the beginning. It's like, go sit down and read what God said to Job when Job got questioned. He said, where were you? when I put them stars out there, where were you at, Job? where were you? See, don't question God's wisdom. If there's things we don't understand. I've always took the thing that Paul said, we see through a glass darkly. And we really need to understand, it isn't that we're blinded, we're limited in knowledge. The whole time when a person gets born again, from the time we leave this earth, while we're here, we're learning. Nobody, absolutely nobody, comes to a place where they don't have to learn anymore. Nobody in this earth. That happens to no one. So one thing is Kenneth, hey, I heard him talk about that when I first got born again. As a fact, he said, I'm just learning like everybody else and I'm just going along. We're just all learning. And he made a statement. He said, the more I learn, he said, the more I realize I don't know. And you come to that fact as you realize. Because it always, naturally it works like that. Scientists will sit down, they'll search different thing, they'll figure a thing out, and then we're done. After a while, they're like, oh my God, well, what about this then? If that's true over there, well, what about this? One thing, see, when you gain light, light always brings other things out you didn't see before. It always does. That's the way light works. And so the more light you put in an area, the more that you can see, well, that's what the Word of God does. Light comes and you get to see a lot more than you've ever seen before. And so don't ever think it's strange. You're going to have to learn. This is the path we're on. We're just on this path. I tell you what, I like learning. I really enjoy it. So it's not a problem. It's not a problem from my standpoint. I enjoy it. I love to see the things that God enlightens me and shows me. And so you want to get that thing where you just, we want to see more and understand more about things, but it's on this hand. On the other hand of it, no matter how much we learn, we're still looking through a glass darkly. We're limited. One of the things that we're limited to is we're in this body. There's a limit. There's limits because you're here in this flesh. Whether you know it or not, your flesh limits you. This is one of the things we want to do our best, keep our flesh under, but you're in the flesh, you're in that stuff, and it hampers you, and it always will while you're here. And so, you know, God knows that. Like manifestations, understand, you will never do the will of God perfectly. You will never. Why? Because it's operate. The gifts of God operate through imperfect vessels. And God isn't upset about that. He knows that. We're not perfect from this standpoint. He knows and doing these things. Obviously, I learned these things young because Kenneth Hagin talked about these. I had, you know, recordings of him when I first started off. And it really helped me a lot because, see, what happens? The devil traps Christians over these areas, and religion will trap you in this area. Well, it's really God, you, and blah, blah, blah. And what happens? It limits people from yielding to what even they know. They don't yield to it. Well, what if I make a mistake? Well, get over yourself. You will. Well, I'm sure I'm going to make mistakes at it. I'm learning. I'm not afraid to make a mistake. One of the things that will really hamper your Christian life is the fear of making a mistake. That is going to hamper you so much. Well, what if we do something? What if it's wrong? Well, I'm going to tell you, just wake up, space cadet. You'll do something wrong. There's times we miss it. You know, and it's not intentional. We go along. We walk in the knowledge we have, but it ain't enough. But you know what? If you don't walk in the knowledge you have, even it's not enough, but you don't walk in the light that you got, don't surprise you don't get no more, and next year you're still walking that dumb. Until you practice it. I found out the more I practiced at things, the more I gained understanding about things. And you know what? I'm still practicing. See, I'm like a doctor. We're in a practice because they ain't got good at it yet. We're just practicing. We're practicing spirituality. We are. Nothing wrong with it. And as we practice, you get better at it. Hallelujah. But you know, we don't get perfect at it. No, Paul, now think about Paul. Paul, if we take his writings, how well he did, the revelations he bought, and he said, we look through a glass door. He said, we prophesy in part. We prophesy. See, nobody has, see, when you prophesy, one of the things, you can't just follow prophecy. You can't do it. Because prophecy only is a part of a revelation. It's not the whole thing. You can't, where people make a mistake, they will follow a prophet. And they will just follow prophecies from that prophet. And I will tell you what, everybody gets in a ditch doing that. You can't do it. You can't do it. Why? You gotta measure it against other things. You got to measure it against other things in the Word of God other than that prophecy. This is why today we don't judge prophecy. Why? Because anybody but God no good sense. Prophets are saying all kinds of things and they ain't right. They don't match the Word. They aren't in line with what the Word says. They don't come to pass. The Bible says that God doesn't prophesy something don't come to pass. It's a false prophet. Well, you call somebody a false prophet, they get mad at you. They hate you. Well, now you can't, you don't know, you baby. Oh yeah, dude. So the Bible said. He said it's going to happen, ain't going to happen, didn't happen. Okay. That's called a false prophecy, okay? We ain't no rocket scientists here. No, you gotta forgive them. I'm sorry, they never ask for forgiveness. They won't admit they did wrong. We're gonna do some teaching about love. We're gonna teach on the areas of love because of this. God don't love everybody the same, and I can prove it by the Bible.
Amen.
Don't you ever listen to these people to tell you this stuff. Well, God loves everybody the same. I'm sorry, he do not. The Bible is clear on the subject. And we need to understand these things. There's different levels of God, of love that God operates to people. And we need to understand that as a church. And we know, people make statements about the love of God and things. And it's really hurtful to people because, you know, God's love is unconditional. One of the greatest lies that's ever been told in the church. That goes right up there with God's in control, because those two are two demonic things that the devil has put people in the church to say that, to pervert things. And they are dangerous things that hurt a whole lot. They say this stuff. Why do we come today and all these people, no matter what pervert you are or anything else, God loves us all the same. How did they get to this place? How did they come there? That's the, that kind of stuff, saying out things about love. So if God loves everybody the same, well then everybody's going to heaven and everybody's going to be good. How did he get there? False doctrine. False doctrine taught. False gospel of a false Jesus. A Jesus the Bible didn't teach. And what happens? The devil traps people and they go off into eternity without Christ because they've been lied to about things. This is why we tell, the truth makes people free.
Amen.
So if you want to set a person free, you give them the truth. Say, well, they might not like him. Well, they ain't going to get free any other way.
Amen.
We tell them the truth. And it gets hard. When you have people been indoctrinated in these false things, it's hard to talk to them about them. But when you tell them it ain't that way, they unhappy campers. Oh, man, they can get pretty ugly, them folk. They get mad. See, the more a person is religiously indoctrinated, the more hard it is to talk to them about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It gets harder. And so, hallelujah, but we're going to love them. We're going to preach the truth to them. Hallelujah. Praise God. We want them to come to the place. Well, this guy going along, they want to know, who did this thing? Hallelujah. So, we find out, down in verse 14, because Jesus in 13 said, but the one who was healed, he didn't know who it was. It's where Jesus withdrew, a multitude being in that place. Says, after a while, in verse 14, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. So this is one thing we know this, and we need to, people need to understand this. Understand, this man's a Jew who lives, he's under the law. He knows the law. He's under a covenant of God. So he's knowledgeable about sin. Understand this. This would be, in a sense, like talking to a believer today. You see, sinners aren't sick because of sin. They're sick because they're under a curse. Whether they believe it or not, the devil is their Lord. Whether, most Christians don't even believe that. Anyhow, but the devil's their Lord. He rules, he has authority over them. They are sick because they're under a curse. This man is sick because of sin. So we need to understand this as Christians and why Christians, there's sometimes Christians are sick because of sin. They open the door up to the devil to do something. Now we're going to find, later on we'll teach, because we don't want to, don't get it in your mind that everybody's sick, every Christian's sick, is because they sin. That's not true at all. We'll find out, because, see, these are things that God put these examples in there, so there's things that we can see about this. One thing we see, this guy didn't argue with Jesus about this. But he said to him, why? You don't go sin anymore. You're going to end up worse than what you started at in this. You didn't like this for 38 years? It'll get worse. Don't sin anymore. Say, well, what was he doing? We don't know. I'm sure it wasn't he just told somebody a lie or something. There's something that people did. Understand this. There are certain things that will open things up to the devil greater than other things will. This is one thing you don't want to get over in yourself to opening things up. And I see that sometimes in Christianity. People don't see the things that they do that open the door to satanic stuff.
Amen.
And because there's different levels of that can really cause huge amounts of problems. I've had to deal with it with people. And I'll tell you what, you get over in it and people, the devil gets his hand in. Sometimes you can't get people released. They get so darn bound. They get bound and they can't see themselves out and they'll resist. The devil is a tormentor and he'll just do things and people need to understand all because of not obeying. God told them to do something. They wouldn't do it. So we need to understand sometimes, you know, there's certain things we get along with, you know, we mess up here and there and God says something go along. But I'll tell you, there's certain things that you go to a certain place. God could get fed up with it and he'll just back off. Because number one, you don't want God backing off because there's another spirit that'll come along.
Amen.
And he has no mercy. He has no kindness. He has nothing. And so I've seen this thing. I mean, I got a friend that's been bound for probably about 30 years. Well, it's been over 30 years. He's been bound by the devil. Can't get free. And he won't listen to things. I know, I love the man. Love to help. He's a Christian man, but he's bound. Because of disobedience. God told him to do. Loving mom and daddy more than he loved God. That's where it came from. See, we don't consider certain things their problems and that kind of stuff. You need to understand different things that open the doors to stuff.
Amen.
You know, and I wanted to see that thing change so bad. I wanted to see that thing change so bad that I got myself in trouble with God trying to push in to get that thing to change. And I got in trouble. That's when God spoke and heaven thundered, man. And the Lord told me to knock it off. And he said to me, it's going to take him a long time to get that corrected. And man, a long time has been going on. But he's been in this torment for all this time. And it's torment. I want you to think about that. See, sometimes you can do things about things and sometimes you can't. When this thing first started on him, God used me to, I'd get him set free for spurts of time. But he'd go right back. He kept going over and yielding that spirit. See, his problem was he got yielding to that spirit as a Christian. When he was doing all right, he started yielding over to a spirit in the thing. I'm going to tell you what, you give the devil an inch, he's going to take a yard. That's his nature. He's evil. That's why he's evil. There's no good in him. He's evil. And so you don't want to get yourself over in those areas and that stuff and things. That's why you want to protect yourself. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I love the man. He, you know, you have this thing going on, but let me just say this, you know, in doing this, he ain't the only one that suffered. His wife, a really good lady, has suffered a lot all through this time period. She has suffered terribly. She's a good Christian woman. She has suffered staying with this man. She's gone through a lot of tough stuff because of that, having to live with this. What's going on? And I think that's one thing is gets a whole lot of trouble. See, people get over it. They don't really, they get over into their area doing the things they don't want us going to do to somebody else. They don't realize you're not walking in love with the ones around you. I'm going to protect the ones around me, the heck with whatever else is going on and anybody else thinks about it. I want to walk with God.
Amen.
No matter mom, what mommy and daddy think. What their ideas are, we're going with God. We're going to follow God. See, you want to do that. You want to follow God. Because I want to be blessed, but I want the ones around me to be blessed. I don't want to curse Wanda. See, people don't realize these things happen. People do stuff and it curses the devil gets a foothold in and say, and it does affect other people. You know? I mean, just what, I always thought just the heartache that she's lived with, you know, from what he goes through. What he's gone through over the years. And he got a lot of things because of that. There's other things. I mean, because of this. And you just, somebody puts up with this all these years and goes along with all these things going on. And everybody sits around and they turn around and, poor him. Hold it. He didn't think poor old anybody else when he started doing this stuff. See, that's why we want to, you know, think about what we're walking into. Hallelujah. God's a deliverer. There's one thing that's in the sin. You know, any day that he repent and turn the right direction could be changed. He can be delivered if he's willing to be a deliverer.
Amen.
But I'll tell you that he's afraid to be delivered because every time he wants to move in a direction, the devil starts carrying on and he backs off. But you know what? If he don't set his will, he'd never get free. He's going to have to set his will. Mm-hmm. Understand this about yourself. You're going to set your will to be free. Now you have to decide that. You set your will to be free. Say, well, it might, you know, and this might not be easy. Sometimes it's not, you know. If you dig a ditch long enough, it gets pretty deep. Sometimes it gets hard to get out of, but I'll tell you, God is well able to get you out of the ditch.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujahs. Well, So anyhow, this guy, you know, he's got into a sin problem and says, the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. It says, for this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus, sought to kill him because he had done this thing on the Sabbath. Now, I want you to think about this. Do you think that the angel came on the Sabbath day to heal people there? I mean, would all those people went out to that place if an angel didn't ever show up on the Sabbath? Now think about this. You talk about a flaky bunch of religious people. Can you understand why Jesus dealt with them the way he does? I mean, they're as dumb as a stick. You don't get any dumber than this. Because religion will lead you to the point you don't even, you think so stupid, you'll think so dumb. And it'll make wonderful sense to you, but you'll just think the dumbest stuff. God's down there healing people, stirring the water on the Sabbath day, and they say, can't heal on the Sabbath. My God, let's throw God in jail. What do you think? Those people wouldn't have been hanging out down there because the angel didn't know it wasn't the law. So, when you get smarter than God, you in trouble. Hallelujah. So glory to God. So let's get thinking on these areas and that stuff. These were put here for us for a purpose. And sometimes dealing with people, this is why we with ourselves, but all of a sudden sometimes praying for other people. You know, we're just going to get them healed, gun them healed. Sometimes you need to stop. I know over time I prayed concerning people because I saw nothing was ever changing. Nothing never changed. Well, why isn't it ever changing? The person says that they're in faith and they're turning around now, blah, blah, all this. Why isn't anything changing? There's a reason. Well, why? What's the reason? Well, sometimes God will talk to you about it. Sometimes he just told you to let it alone. Sometimes you can just, number one, you get over there praying about it, God never hooks up with you on it. You got to learn what, you know, you can do your own praying. And just you trying to push through something. Is the Holy Spirit hooking up with you? And I've had times of praying for people and I just realized over time, I just stopped and said, Lord, Holy Ghost, you ain't hooking up with me on this thing. I'm praying here in a direction. And this I can tell I'm like them. This ain't working. And you know, most of the time when it stopped, till I stopped and recognized that fact, I was never told anything. On the other hand, if you're praying and the Holy Ghost is hooking up with you, you'll find something out. You've got something. Well, I found something out. And sometimes the people, the Lord would say to me, it don't do any good to pray for them. They won't change. They're not going to change. See, a person has to cooperate. You can pray people to hook up if they'll cooperate. See, when God moves on, you ask God to move on. Just like a sinner, you pray for God to move on a sinner, he will.
Amen.
That don't mean he's going to get saved. No, he's going to have to respond.
Amen.
You can set up or turn around. You bind devils over people that are trying to hold people back from coming to the truth. And they can come to the truth. When they come to the truth, they must receive it.
Amen.
See, when the light comes, that don't mean the person's going to do it because the light came.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I heard the gospel a bunch and didn't come to the light.
Amen. Amen.
It doesn't mean that. Well, number one, we do want people to come to the place where the light shines.
Amen.
We want to get seed planted. Because, you know, there are people that turn from it. There's other people, they don't take it right away, but that seed gets in them. And over time, all of a sudden, bang, one day, all of a sudden, it dawns on them. That seed inside there growing, that seed gets a hold of them. But all we do is our part. You're not a savior. You can't guarantee a salvation on somebody. You know, we could. I mean, my words. I mean, when Jesus got everybody saved, you know? Say, Jesus, you just save her, and then before you leave and go to heaven, just get everybody saved right now, you know. And then we won't. Well, it don't happen that way. Jesus had people he could not minister. He could minister in his hometown. Jesus couldn't get everybody to get something. It's a good chance it ain't. You know. So I don't have to feel bad about it. But our job is to bring light to people, plant seed. This is what we do. And we go along and do those things. And sometimes we need help in the area because, you know, we can be driven more by our emotions than by faith. We need to be careful with that. We can, you know, understand this. God gave us a human body and our human body has feelings and things like that, has emotions and all that kind of stuff. They're in there. God knows it. You know, that's part of an expression of a person's personality of what person, we're not like a robot just walking around, you know. As Christians, we're not. And so you need to see yourself, but we need to prepare. One thing is we need to learn is have our emotions and everything controlled under our spirit. Because what happened? People do this all the time. They're emotionally drawn to a situation and they're trying to act like it's spiritual and it won't work. They can't fix it. And they just are driven by emotion. They go to prayer by emotion and not by the spirit. They're moved by their emotion on the situation. So you want to get clear of that because this is what happened. Emotion will cloud things. Just an emotion. You may have, and I'll tell you what, I've had great emotions that come because I was operating in the spirit and emotions came, but those emotions were under the spirit, not the spirit. I'm trying to operate under my human emotions driven by my natural inclinations. See, today in the church world, most of what goes on out here to do and to helping people is mostly built under emotion, natural emotions. We see people's problems. We're driven by what we naturally see. We ought to know we can do it, but God will join up with us to do about it. That's what we have to find out. See, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, didn't say many are really moved by bad problems and that stuff. And then, no, it doesn't work that way. Because if God moved by bad problems, my God, there's nations he ought to get a working in, man. They got trouble up to their necks. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, get thinking about that. It's yourself. It's like something may it draws you. I see people sometimes, I always think about this when I look and they're talking about, especially my standpoint, I grew up and all that through as in the rock and roll area and into all the crazies. And I see all these people dying in these groups and it's all going. And it breaks my heart. They're leaving this earth and most of them, and they have never came to the knowledge of Jesus. And I think, man, these people are stepping off into eternity. Where are they? And it's like, mm-hmm. What were they? Well, see, that can really, that can really grab you in your heart, that thing's in. But that isn't because, see, there's things around that we know. But what does God want us to do? Who can we help? What can we hook up with? What can we do? And we can always go out and put seeds of the gospel out there to people, go tell them the truth. For God did so love the world that he gave his only son. That's God's love. God will not extend any more love to the world than that for them to get saved. Now, if they respond to that, he has love to offer them beyond. But until they come to that, that's what they get. The goodness, let me say this to you. The goodness that sinners get in this earth is because of the saint mostly. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. They get rain because God gives it to us. They get things and blessings because to us. They don't get it because of them. See, I got blessing in my life because my dad walked right with God. Mm-hmm. I didn't get it. I had nothing coming. Ed had nothing coming. Ed got blessed because his dad walked right.
Amen.
You see, you get thinking right. We have a lot of messed up in the thinking of Christianity about stuff and things, and it's... It really messes stuff up. The Christians don't understand the importance of their life and them walking with God. They don't understand the glory that's in them. And God's response to them because you're his. See, the devil will keep you thinking, I'm just a nobody. And what I do really don't matter. Mm-hmm. Well, that kind of thinking, the devil's going to use you a lot.
Amen.
He's going to keep you depressed so you can depress some more. Mm-hmm. And get some more people depressed. See, get that off of you. Don't allow that to come on you.
Amen.
You're a child of God. God lives in you. What's God's view of you? That's why you stay with the Word. What's God say you are? Mm-hmm. Devils say, and people might say a lot of things, but you know what? I ain't moved by what people, I don't care what people say.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God done spoke. God spoke about you, and you rise up to that.
Amen.
You talk those things about yourself, not some other stuff. You talk other stuff, I guarantee you, you're going to hurt other people. You'll hurt other people around you. Ain't nobody depressed who don't depress others.
Come on. Amen.
It always does. Always depresses other people. Hallelujah. Man, I'm going to tell you what. Everybody lives under. The devil wants to depress us all. We see things and stuff happening, but hallelujah. You just got to remember all the time who you are. What God's using you for. Praise God. You got to keep yourself in a direction because people need help. They don't need another problem.
Amen.
Glory to God. Father, I just want to say thank you tonight. Lord, you're showing us these things in your word. Hallelujah. Because we're the church of Jesus Christ. We're the temples of God, and God lives in us. And I thank you, Lord God. You said as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons. Hallelujah. Lord God, I just declare I'm led by the Spirit of God. I'm going to walk in line of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And hallelujah, Father, you're going to be able to manifest yourself to us and through us in Jesus' name. Our whole purpose, Lord God, we want to glorify Jesus Christ and magnify. People need help, hallelujah. And Lord God, we want to allow you to work through us to bring your great goodness, mercy, and kindness to people, hallelujah, what is beyond, hallelujah, our mentality, our understanding, but your glory will be revealed. And we just want to say thank you, hallelujah. We just want to thank you because you will use us, hallelujah, because that's our desire, that you would. And I just thank you, Father God, hallelujah, that your kindness and mercy and all that you've done for us, we just want to let you know how thankful we are. How grateful we are for what you have done for us. Lord God, when I measure anything that I've gone through, stuff that's happened, it's nothing compared to your great, great kindness and mercy that you have shown to me through Christ Jesus. It don't even shine a light on. Hallelujah. The glory that's in us. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit of God dwelling in us. What a phenomenal thing. And we just want to say thank you, Lord, for being so good to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.